Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, the parish staff took me to see the drama Moses out at the Sight and Sound Theater. It's quite a show. It tells the story of Moses from his birth to his boyhood to his great call and his wonderful mission. Moses is definitely worth knowing about, and if you have the opportunity to see the show, to go see it. The show came to my mind this week as I saw the smoke rolling in from Canada. It reminded me of one of the 10 plagues that Moses was a part of for Israel. As quickly as the smoke came, stayed, and left, I found it to be a very strange experience. It was very real, for sure. You could see it, you could smell it, you could even taste it. And the events of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week filled me with gratitude. Gratitude for the change of wind. Gratitude for those who fight fire. It left me with a mindfulness of those who live with smoke that wind can't blow away. The smoke of war, the smoke of injustice. There are many people who wake up to horrible events that a jet stream can't rid them of. Finally, it was a reminder of just how humble we are. We are one world. We are connected. And our vulnerability, our dependence on one another and on God is evident. These themes are on display throughout the scripture, but particularly this Sunday as we celebrate Corpus Christi. We meet Moses today. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. And he's reflecting on all of the events that he has been through with Israel. Specifically, how God provided for them in the desert. He provided manna. In the gospel, we see Jesus in Capernaum. We're told by John that it's near to the Passover. It's near to the remembrance of that last plague. And John 6 is all about Jesus, the bread of life. And finally, in the second reading, we find Paul writing to Corinth in the earliest scriptural record of that Last Supper, the Eucharist. While the readings are clear, the words and the history, the hearing of these words and the living of these words can sometimes be confusing. When the Jews woke up to the manna, they said, "What is this? A new kind of food." They had to learn how to eat, how to receive it. When Jesus was speaking the Bread of Life discourse, he was speaking rather scandalously, eating flesh, drinking blood. And Paul, in writing to Corinth, reminds them that this is the very participation in the life of God, the very living of his way of life, the very mysterious life of the kingdom to which God calls each of us. A few short reflections. Whenever I read John 6, I'm always glad that I was not there that day when Jesus gave this discourse. It certainly is a startling teaching. Very weird, very strange, and I'm glad I wasn't there. Number two, I'm very glad that I'm here. And I'm the recipient of a much fuller context of the church, of the rest of Jesus' life and teachings, of his passion and death, of his Last Supper, and his deeds. The teachings of the Eucharist are not in isolation. We believe what the early church believed, what the church continues to believe, and what the church will always believe. That the Eucharist really is the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, truly, substantially present in the Blessed Sacrament. It's the same flesh that was born of Mary, the same flesh that was nailed to the cross, the same flesh that walked out of the tomb. There's only one Jesus. And through the beautiful gift and mystery of the Eucharist, that one Jesus is made present to us in all of time. It was he who did say to us, "I will be with you always, even till the end of time." It was he who said to us, "As the Father lives in me and I live in the Father, so also can you live in me and I in you." He said, "Do this in memory of me." And the church, my friends, has been doing it all these centuries. Doing what the Lord told us to do, doing what the Lord did, loving, saving, communicating himself to us. At the end of John 6, it's an interesting scene. The crowd that had been there at the beginning of John 6 for the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, they thin out. John tells us that hearing this difficult teaching, they return to their former way of life and no longer accompany him. And then Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Will you also leave?" And Peter says, "Where shall we go? Lord, we have come to believe and we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." My friends, that's our faith. And when we say amen to the Eucharist, we say what Peter said. We have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. In the Spanish language, there are a few ways to say goodbye. Adios says it. But there's an expression you may have heard, vaya con Dios, to go with God. In all of our goings and comings in life, so often, our life can be like smoke. It can come and go. Who's going to remember us in 100 years, 200 years, 300 years? How beautiful it is, how different it is, how saving it is to come and go with God. Why? Because he is not forgotten. He is substantive. He has eternal life. To go with God, to be one with him, to stay with him, is salvation. It is the gift of the Eucharist. And this Sunday, as we celebrate Corpus Christi Sunday, as we say amen and receive the body of Christ, let us pray for the grace to be with him, to go with him, to be one with him. As St. Augustine said long ago about the Eucharist, to become him, to become what we receive. My friends, may we grow in our appreciation, our love, our reverence, our respect for the Eucharist, for God. And the more we do that, the more we will realize the beautiful gift of his real presence with us. God be with you.